Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back, safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. It is the bread of life. It is our nourishment. It is our strength. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today as we break open this word. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. This is the parable of the prodigal son. And Jesus spoke in parables, and parables are a very powerful tool. They are very powerful for our faith. And what's so powerful about the parable is that it allows us to locate and examine the characters portrayed. And if we submit to the Word of God, we can actually see some similarities between the character portrayed and us. Amen? So when we hear the parable, we are to examine the character and the behavior of the one being portrayed. And if we are humble enough in heart, we can then see some similarities. And more importantly, if we are humble in heart and if we submit to the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit can take that word that we just read and the word that we submit to and use it and infuse it into our heart. And if we submit to it, the Holy Spirit can do a work and help us to grow spiritually. Amen? See, many of us lack the ability to see ourselves clearly. Many of us lack the self-awareness that is the necessity for growth. And the parable allows us to identify those areas in our life and help us to grow. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit will take the words that are written in your Bible, take the words that are written on the pages, and transform it into the voice that resonates in your heart. Amen? The Word of God will become the voice that resonates and sounds off in your heart. And that is the power of the Spirit. And my prayer this morning is that we will be attentive and listen to what the Spirit is saying to our hearts this morning. Amen? So here we have this parable, and we are in the middle of this sermon series, and Pastor Michael is talking about this sermon series called Trending. Trending. And this sermon series, he's going to be dealing with the hot topics found within our culture today. He's talking about homosexuality and racism and abortion and immigration. These are all hot topics that are found within our culture. And I kind of wanted to interrupt this sermon series and introduce this message this morning because I want to make sure that we have balanced thinking entering into this sermon series titled Trending. I want to make sure that we have balanced thinking and awareness and that we simply don't have a conversation about the culture. We simply can't have a conversation about them without having a conversation about us as well. Amen? See, if this whole thing becomes a conversation about them only, then we lose the total essence of what God's trying to speak to our hearts. Amen. So I want to make sure that we have balanced thinking and that we have a sense of awareness and that we don't become disproportionate in our thinking and that we don't class ourselves being better or grander in the sight of God. Because we may actually have more in common with them than what we would tend to believe. See, in the parable of the prodigal son, the standout character is the prodigal. He's disobedient, he's defiant, he's rebellious. He has this great act of disobedience as he approaches his father and asks for his father's estate. And he estranged himself from his father. But what we also find in the parable is that there are two lost brothers. And the elder brother estranged himself from the father as well, as he stood in disgust as his younger brother returned home and would not enter into his father's house. And what you have to understand about this parable is that the prodigal son really does represent the culture in the world today. But the elder son who was estranged represents the state of the church and religion as well. There were two lost sons. There were two estranged sons. Amen. And you have to understand that Jesus is speaking not only to tax collectors and prostitutes. That wasn't the only people that were found in the general audience. He wasn't just talking to tax collectors and prostitutes. He was talking to Pharisees, the Sadducees, scribes. He was talking to the religious and the Jewish sect as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't simply about them. He addressed all of us in this parable. Amen? So today I want us to ponder our heart and listen to what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us. Amen? Let's start with the obvious. The younger brother, the prodigal son, the disobedient. Here the younger son approaches his father and asks for his portion of the estate. This is the most shocking, most disturbing thing that in that time anyone could hear. This is so disrespectful. It brought so much shame, not only upon the father and the family, but also the community. Tim Keller says it like this. The younger, the prodigal son, basically says to the father, I want your things, but I don't want anything to do with you. He's basically saying, you are dead to me. You are nothing more than a means to my end. And what we have to ask ourselves is, what sparked this great act of defiance? What sparked this great act of disobedience? It was an ungoverned appetite. There was an appetite that was created in the day-to-day grind. And his day-to-day grind and all of his duties and all of his responsibilities and all the things he had to do and all the places he had to go and all of the grind and all of the responsibilities and all the things he had to take care of, there was this thought that entered into his mind that he was looking for something more. He was looking for something else. There had to be more sport in life than simply all of this stuff that we have to take care of. And it became this appetite that entered into his mind, and he began to think about it, and it was unchecked and it was ungoverned. And this appetite that was created in the day-to-day grind morphed itself into hunger. He hungered for it. He was hungry. The thing about hunger is that hunger motivates. Nothing motivates greater than hunger. Nothing moves you more than hunger. Amen? I remember when I started my mortgage career, my boss came up to me and he said, "Andy, you just have to be hungry for it. You have to hunger for it." And what you have to be careful of is you have to examine your heart and really locate those areas that you have hunger. Some people have hunger for wild living like the prodigal son, and they have hunger for all of this party life and sex and all of these things. Some people have hunger for alcohol. They can never seem to get enough. Some people have hunger for power and money and career. It's hunger that motivates. It's hunger that moves. And it was this ungoverned appetite that morphed itself into hunger. And hunger sparked in his heart, made him so bold and so daring, he approached his father in this great act of defiance. In this shocking act of defiance, and says, "I want my portion of the estate." It was hunger. Amen? But what's so awesome about this parable is that the father gave him his portion. Note that the father didn't fight him. And that's kind of different, because I know if I went up to my dad, I was like, "Hey, I want my portion of the will," he'd say, "Well, you take me out first and you can get your portion of the will," right? Right? But he didn't fight with his son. He didn't rebuke his son. He gave. And what's so awesome about this parable is it really does show the love and the tenderness of this Father, our Heavenly Father. Listen, every single one of us has gone through a season of youth. Amen? Some of you, like myself, it was a little bit longer of a season. But all of us have gone through a season of youth. And there's something about that season of youth where, as a parent, you have to look at your child and simply say, "I have to let you go." See, when you live underneath my house, it's going to be my rules, right? That's what I've heard my entire life. My house, my rules. But there comes a time and age when the parent can't control any longer. The parent has to let that child go. But what's so amazing is that even in that, the father provided. How many of you can look back at your state of rebellion when you were a million miles away from God and say, "I still could see the hand of God upon my life. There's no way that I should even be alive." Amen? Have you ever thought how many times God had protected you? And sometimes I even cringe. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I cannot believe I did that." There was protection. There was provision. I was a million miles from God, and he still provided for me. And he even promoted me at times. That is the love of our Father. But the father didn't rebuke his son. He gave to his son. But then crisis hits. Now listen to this. Crisis hits the land, and hunger is created. And this prodigal is staring at the pods that pigs would feed out of, and he was starving to death. And hunger once again motivated the son to be oh so daring to return home. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. The thing that you trade in the Father for is the very thing that he'll use to drive you home. It was hunger that motivated the prodigal son to leave, and it was hunger that motivated the prodigal son to return. Amen. And whatever you trade God in on, I will tell you, he will use that very thing to cause such emptiness in your life, it will drive you back to the Father's house. Amen. Oh, let's give God a hand clap of praise. It was hunger that drove him back home to be so bold. Now listen, to all my prodigals, and I'm a prodigal son, okay? The hardest thing about the return home is facing your consequences. And the hardest thing about consequences is the faces of all of those people that you've impacted. All of those people that you brought shame upon. All of those people that you have affected. Amen. You say to yourself, I just don't want to see the look of disappointment anymore. I just don't want to see that look of disappointment in my father's eyes. I don't want to see that look of disappointment in my mother's eyes. It's the faces and the consequences that mess you up the worst. But what's so amazing in this parable is that the loving father doesn't even afford that opportunity. He strips it away from the prodigal son and embraces him with love, covers him, and seals him. Amen? To all my prodigal sons like myself, this facing your consequences can make you overly sensitive. It can make you overly sensitive. Because all of a sudden, when you come back to your father's house, you feel like everyone is looking at you. I remember when I first started going to church, I felt like everyone knew my backstory. Everyone knew my backstory. That everyone knew my dirt. I was such a scoundrel and I did all these things. And I felt like everyone knew. And then even that, you know, as I was going to church, I had this... Listen, sanctification, there are some things that God will touch and strip out of your life, but most of the things in my life, I had to go through a long period and still am going through sanctification. And I used to go out on Saturday night and still go to church on Sunday morning. And I remember I thought to myself, man, I just feel so shameful and everyone knows what I did. And I even became this like overly confessing Christian. Like, you know, people are like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, you know what I did? Like, you had to tell them because they already knew, right? You just thought that everyone knew. And I felt like I had the shame that I wrestled with. I felt like everyone was looking at me. And I'm going to tell you something. God lifted that from me. And I'm going to tell you when God lifted it. He lifted it from me in an act of worship. Now listen to this. I was going to church and I was really kind of just awkward in worship. And one Sunday I was like, you know what? Today's the day I'm going to raise my hands. It's like, I'm going to raise my hands, right? And so I went into church. And I was like, I'm getting pumped up. I was like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do it. And so the music started, and you know, and I was getting nervous. I was like, all right, I'm doing this thing. And so I closed my eyes, and, you know, I kind of do my little bop thing. And I was like, all right, I'm going to worship. I'm going to raise my hands. I was like, here it is. Here it is. Right? And I opened my eyes. I kind of looked around for a second, and then I just closed them. And then I started getting, like, right here. But by the end of the song, I had my hand towards heaven, and I was worshiping. And I was like, you know what? I had my eyes closed. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is the greatest thing in the world. I'm going to open my eyes, and people from the church are going to high-five me. The elders are going to give me, like, a thumbs up, you know, like, you're doing it. And I'm like, yeah, right? Man, I opened my eyes, and no one was looking at me. No one was looking at me. To all my prodigal sons out there, let me tell you something. They're not looking at you, bud. I know you think everyone's looking at you. I know you might be overly sensitive. No one's looking at you. The elder brother that you fight is not in the audience. The elder brother that you fight against is in your head. And the thing about worship was, is it took the attention off of myself and I placed it on God. And I'm telling you, as a prodigal, you may have to get over yourself just a little bit because not everyone's looking at you. Amen? All right, let's quickly get into the elder brother. Because he too estranged himself from the father. He too left his father's presence. He was in the field and he was working and he was doing his duty and he was dutiful and he was obedient and he was doing all these great things. And then all of a sudden, he comes in from the field and he hears this music. And he hears this celebration. And he's like, what's going on? And one of his servants informs him, your brother has returned. Great. Mark knows that feeling. Great. We will edit that out of the podcast. Jeremy told me to say it. The brother came home, right? And he's mad. Why is he mad? Because he finds out the celebration is because of his brother. But he doesn't lose it until he finds this important piece out. He finds out that the fattened calf has been slaughtered because his father has called for this celebration. And the elder son stands outside of his father's house in defiance and refuses to come in. You know, it's not like he wasn't invited to the celebration. The father came out and pleaded with him. He pleaded with him, come in, celebrate with us, come into the house. The father pleaded with him. It's amazing that the father didn't plead with the prodigal son in his state of rebellion, but he pleaded with his son who was obedient. You want to know why? Because those who are in rebellion know they are in rebellion. But those who are obedient and religious and self-righteous, it's harder for them to see their error. And the father pleaded with him to come in. And he, in his act of defiance, said, look, I've been obedient and dutiful. I have slaved for you. And you've given me nothing. And he estranged himself from the father. The obedient, the Mr. Always Right, estranged himself from the father. His heart was soured. It was bitter. It was angry. And he estranged himself from the father. But I will tell you, his heart didn't lose itself in that moment. His heart drifted from the father as he was in his day-to-day grind every single day. And he too, like his younger brother, had this thought. He had this appetite. He had this hunger to take hold of his father's things. The elder brother rejected the father just like the younger did. Amen? And here's the dangerous part about it for all of us who are in church. He did it while living in his father's household. Ladies and gentlemen, both of these brothers have a problem, and that problem is this. They were not connected to the father. They were not connected to the Father. Listen, in the book of John, Jesus gives us this instruction about obedience. Obedience. He says this. He says, if you love me, then you will obey. If you love me, then you will obey. See, the problem is love comes first, then obedience. And for the elder brother, for the religious, for the one who's always got it right, it was all about obedience first. See, both didn't have connection with the Father. But one didn't have connection with the Father while living underneath his house, being right every single day. And Jesus gives us this instruction. He says, if you love me, then you obey. Listen, our obedience has to come from this place that we recognize the grace and the love and the mercy and all of the good gifts that God gives us. And through that recognition and through that awareness, we then have this desire to do the will of God. It cannot be the other way around. Because if it's the other way around, then performance is our measuring rod for how connected we are to God. Love. Listen, I told Mandy, I said, I don't really care if my children are overly obedient. It's never going to happen. They got too much of their mom in them. I'm not worried about my kids being... See, sometimes we obsess about our kids being perfect. We obsess about our kids being obedient. What I want is my kids to be connected. I want my kids not only to know the Word of God, but to listen to the still, small voice that resonates in their heart. Because I don't want them to know how to perform Christianity. I want them to be connected to Christ. And in that connection, obedience will flow. We have to allow our kids this margin of error to grow in adulthood. They're going to mess up things. You and I messed up things. We don't need our kids to be perfect, but we do have to get our kids connected to Christ. Amen? Both brothers had a problem with obedience because both brothers had an issue with love. The prodigal son rebelled against his father because he wasn't truly connected to his father. And if he was, it would govern his passions and his desires. And in his day-to-day, he would find more fulfillment. The elder son had an issue with obedience. He found refuge in it. He thought it was the all in all. And more importantly, he thought it gave him the right to be blessed. He thought it was his right. The father owed him. Both had an issue with obedience because both brothers had an issue with love. And it was a connection. It started with connection. Now listen, I'm going to close, but I want to give you 2 points. 2 points. I want you to focus on 2 connection points in your life. Number one is the Word of God. Listen, the world and the prodigal son acts like the world and the prodigal son because they don't have the Word of God in their life. They don't have the Word of God in their life. Do you ever watch TV and the news and you're like, this world is coming to a bloody end? It's because they don't have the Word of God in their life. They are so scattered and lost. But I will tell you this. There's also those who dwell in the Father's house that don't have the Word of God in their life as well. I will tell you the greatest indictment against the American church is that we attempt to be Christian without the Word of God. This is our daily bread. This is our source, our strength. We have to consume this daily. My challenge to everyone, anyone my guy friends will tell you, it is called the 15 and 15. You must read your Bible 15 minutes every single day, and that has to be your minimum standard, and you must pray for at least 15 minutes every day. That's connection to God. How can you be upset that God hasn't blessed you when you don't even consume the precepts of His Word? Amen? And don't tell me that you're Christian and you don't read the Word of God. Because if that's the case, then it's plastic religion. The Word of God is the bread of life. It quenches the thirst. Amen? What is your connection to God? It is the Word. What does that time look like for you? And number two is worship. Listen to this. It's amazing to me. Each brother wanted to celebrate, but neither one wanted to celebrate with the father. The elder brother, Mr. I have it all together, Mr. Obedient, Mr. I slaved away, said, you never gave me a young goat so that I could have a party with my friends. He never said, you never give me a young goat so we can have a party with my friends. See, even the elder brother had the same passions and desires as the younger brother. The only difference was his temperament and the way that he was wired is different. The younger prodigal was bold and daring. The elder brother was not so. But he had the same exact appetite. And here's the thing. The father comes out to him and says this. He says, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, the word of God says, to come in and celebrate with us. Come into my house and celebrate with us. Listen, this celebration has nothing to do with your brother. This celebration is called upon by my orders, says the Father. And it is my house, and it is my celebration. And if you come in, you will taste and see all of the goodness that is found. But he stood there in defiance because it wasn't about him, and he didn't get what he wanted. And I will tell you, I see this every Sunday in the house of God during worship. The Spirit of God literally is in here, and the praise team is up here, and everyone's worshiping, and I see people that stand there in defiance. It's almost as if God is pleading with them to worship and celebrate in the Father's house and to taste and see how good he is, and they stand there in defiance because they haven't received what they thought they should. You can stand outside. You can reject the Father. But the Word of God says, taste and see that he is good. In order to do so, you have to come into his presence and respond to his grace. And I promise you, you will be overwhelmed with his goodness. Amen? Let's all stand as we close. My prayer for you, my request before God is that you would leave the house of God pondering his word. The power of a parable is that we can find ourselves in the characters. Maybe you say to yourself, I am the prodigal. I struggle with shame. I struggle with the insecurities that are found in it. I've returned back to the Father's house and I wrestle against all the looks and stares. I'm telling you, man, no one's looking at you. Maybe you tell yourself, you know what? I'm a little more like the elder. Yeah, I'm dutiful. I do the right things. I'm obedient. But I don't know how strong my connection is with the Father. I don't know how moved I am in his presence. My prayer is this week that you would ponder your heart and actually repent and return back to him. And I promise you, as you approach him, he will be like the father and the prodigal son. He will meet you. He will embrace you. He will cover you, and he will seal you with his love. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will just touch and guide. Lord, I pray that every heart and every mind would come to this place and recognition and realizing that you're a good father, that you have good gifts for us. Lord, forgive us of our sins and make a clean heart in us, Father. Help us to come back to you, God, with a clear conscience. Move us forward in our spiritual growth. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.